bless you. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. Go into a familiar verse. A lot of things been on my heart of late. I kind of got a little heavy-hearted at the beginning of the week, thinking about people, specifically us. And there was a movie on a long time ago. I think it's called New Jack City. And this has nothing to do with my teaching, but I'm going to say it anyway. So the guy, he's committing genocide on the people. He's a man that's selling drugs in a neighborhood that's predominantly controlled by drugs. I'm not going to go on about the whole spiritual thing behind it, but that's basically what it is. But at the end of the movie, I don't know who the guy is, Ice-T, he goes up. During the movie, they were saying that it's just business, it's just business, it's just business. Well, in the end, when Ice-T grabs the guy, he's like beating on him, and he says, man, this ain't business, this is personal. And that's what I started thinking about. I spend time in prayer praying for a lot of people. Sylvan, the fella over in Africa, and just a lot of people that are persecuted for the word's sake and for just loving the one true God. And it seems like as though, I mean, I pray for everybody here, but it just seems like I was missing the predominant attack on God's people, like right here, and it really bothered me, and it got me heavy-hearted that not so many people were sad, but that so many people really had like some opportunities that needed to be overcome. And I woke up one morning and I looked in the mirror and I said to the devil, dude, this ain't business, it's personal now, and I'm taking it personal, and I'm kicking butt and taking names, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I started thinking about that and how one thing that I truly believe that is missing in people's lives is joy. And the joy that is set before us, the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, that you're saved, going to heaven, and all hell can't stop you. But today, the title of my teaching is Hakuna Matata. Now, if you ever saw The Lion King, you'll know what Hakuna Matata is. Now, if you never saw The Lion King, I advise you to watch it because it's a great little show. But there's this little warthog dude, and he's got like some real issues. But he's got gas, and my wife was here. She'd be like, all right, look who's talking. But anyway, Hakuna Matata, it's a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata, these are the words to the song. Ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. And that's how we should live life. Hakuna Matata. Just a carefree little life that we can live, being blessed and being happy. So I had to go to the Swahili version of the word. There really isn't a Swahili version, I don't think, but that's what Hakuna Matata is, Swahili. And I looked up Hakuna Matata, and it says Hakuna Matata is a Swahili phrase that is literally translated, there are no worries. It is sometimes translated as no worries, although it is more commonly used similarly to the American English phrase, no problem. And that's how we should live our lives. No problem. If you look at John 10:10, and I'm going to read this from the NLT, the New Living Translation, because it has joy in it. So the New Living Translation says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. One of the things the devil wants to do is steal our joy. He wants us to live in fear, have doubt, and have worry. He wants us to be miserable. But that's not how we should be. We should literally thumb our noses at the devil and be happy and be blessed and live with the joy that is in our hearts, the joy that Jesus Christ came to bring. We have a right to a rich and satisfying life, and being joyful is part of that rich and satisfying life. It's not walking around like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. I'm not saying there's not going to be tribulation. And if I get out of control here today, I apologize. But I got so many things that have been weighing on me that might, things like this just might kind of pop out. So anyway, what I was saying was, you walk around like, woe is me. I'm not saying we're not going to have problems, because we're going to have problems in life. Jesus Christ didn't come and deliver us from opportunities to believe God's word. Now, he came to set the captives free and a million other things. We're still going to have problems. We're still going to have problems every day, but it's how we look at those problems. If you look through a telescope, you'll see like one little thing. That's all you can see. Like if you took your hand like this and went around the room, you're seeing a one small thing. Like there's Janet or there's Don. You could go around, but you'll see a couple little people, but depending on how small you make it, if you focus on your opportunity and your problem, that's all you're going to see. You have to get yourself out of that problem so that you can begin to live joyfully. So what is joy? It's merry, full of cheerfulness and or gaiety, joyous in disposition of spirit, laughingly happy, mirthful, festivously joyous, hilarious, my favorite, lighthearted. We should live lighthearted. In fact, I was going to name this teaching Living Lighthearted, but I also did Living Something Else and Living Something Else. And I thought, okay, Hakuna Matata is good. But living lighthearted, carefree, cheerful, the inner attitude of rejoicing in one's salvation. Let me read that again. The inner attitude of rejoicing in one's salvation regardless of the outward circumstances. You got to think about that. You're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you. There's nothing the devil can do about it. And that's what you want to look through a telescope at. You want to just see that. That joy and rejoicing of your heart, one of the reasons is because you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you. I can't tell you, you read the word, I can't tell you how much God loves you. I can't communicate enough how much God loves you and how much God cares about you. We need to get to the point in our lives where we truly believe it. When I shared at the men's fellowship a while ago, I shared about my dad and how my dad left us when I was a child. And I was like 8 years old. And I never had that love of a father. And when I got married and had kids, there was no way I wasn't going to show my kids love. I cried with my kids. I hugged my kids. I kissed my kids. I don't care if they like it or not. Especially my youngest daughter, Julia. Dad, stop. Or not, no, Natalie, the oldest one. It's okay. I don't need it. Yeah. But I give it to her anyway because I love her. And God loves us more than anything else in the world. We can't fix people's problems. We can help them. We can help them all we can. We can give them the word of God. We can teach them the word of God. But we can't fix them. Only God can fix those things. And only us, in ourselves, in our minds, looking at God's word, seeing the deliverance that God has for us, and the joy that he has set before us, is the only way we're going to get out of our problems. And that's what we need to do. We need to get out of our problems. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. This is just such an awesome record. It's really just one verse, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I want to say 44, 13, 44. Again, this is Jesus Christ talking. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant, a man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is ours. It's ours already. We didn't have to do anything but accept Jesus Christ to have that. That's all we had to do. We didn't have to dig it up. So what do you do when you find it? What do you do when you have it? You sell everything you have. That's how important it is. There's nothing more important than the kingdom of heaven, than knowing that you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you. I was thinking about the song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, God of Glory, God of Love. One of the verses in there is, melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. God can do that for you because he loves you that much. We have to believe that. We have to live like that. That's what we have to do in our lives. Well, one of the many things. Psalm 103, please. Joy is a truly great thing. It's something you really need to look at in your life. You can do a word study on it. I was on this thing the other night, and when you look there for joy around on the internet and that, it says all these different things. But I got on this one website. I wish I could tell you what it was, but I deleted it. And it was a thing about the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that there's so many little words that are associated with joy that it was almost too much to mention. The guy must have had like 5 pages. And then there was the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that's how important joy is in our lives. That's how we should see it. We should want to be happy little campers. We should want to live Hakuna Matata. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One of God's benefits is joy. Joy comes from God and the knowledge that he will never let you down. No matter what, you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you. It does not come from persons, places, or things. There's nothing in this world that can bring you the joy that God has given you already. You just need to live it. I was thinking about that steal, kill, and destroy. And when you think about it, the only way something can be stolen from you is if you own it. You think about that. You have to own something in order for it to be stolen. This is my Bible. If somebody comes and steals it, guess what? It's gone. But it was mine while it was here. The only way the devil can steal from us is if we allow him to. You need to put up a spiritual burglar alarm and get that boy off your back one time, once and for all, and live joyfully. Take a look at Samuel. 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 18. We're going to go there. This is one of the most awesomest mind pictures I can think of when it comes to joy. Now, you got to get the context here. You can read it for yourself. It's David and Goliath. And you can go back and read that sometime when you want. But David went out basically with 5 little stones and a slingshot and defeated Goliath. And Goliath was the scourge of Israel at that time. But with just a little stone, he went out there, winged it around, knocked the giant to the ground, and chopped his head off. Now, I don't know how really the whole thing behind it, but a lot of times you see in pictures you'll see the stone winged up and it hits the guy in the head, and he's the giant in the head, Goliath, and he's laying on the ground. Actually, that may or may not be the truth, because when they had their helmets, the helmets came down like this, so it'd be almost impossible to hit him in the head and drive him down to the ground. It was more likely that he was hit in a chink of his armor where the knee is. Because when you have the knee, I don't know, you go like this, and the armor would go down like that and ride up the thigh. So it was more likely that he beamed him in the knee. Think about that with the telescope analogy. Here's this kid. He had to be a deadly shot with a slingshot. I don't know if you ever tried to throw it, fling a slingshot. It's just like an eye patch. You put a little stone, you wing it around, you let it go. Let me tell you, I'd bean everybody in the room. It'd be brutal. But he did it, and he more than likely beamed that guy in the knee, and he came down, and he went up, and he chopped his head off. He was the scourge of Israel. Well, Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ delivered us, and he delivered us from the scourge of all mankind, the devil. He literally chopped his head clean off and took him out. And that's what we have to do. Take a look at Samuel. So at the end, getting a little carried away. So at the end, the people, when the army comes back from the battle of getting rid of the Philistine and the scourge of Israel, when they come back, the people are filled with joy. And in 1 Samuel 18:6, it says, it came to pass as they, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with what? Joy, and with instruments of music. It kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Did you ever see that? You ever see that, man? What are they, the Lilliputs or something? Whatever those little dudes. The Munchkins, yeah. Little Munchkins are all dancing around. Ding dong, witch is dead. Wicked witch, wicked witch. Pretty cool. I'm a kid at heart. It's okay. God doesn't say nothing bad about that. But that's the deal. Ding dong, the witch is dead. The devil's gone. He's been chopped off. Jesus Christ came. He paid the price. He did it all for you and me. We should live joyfully. David put an end to Goliath, the scourge of Israel, and Jesus Christ put an end to the devil, the scourge of mankind. Our all-time enemy was defeated by Jesus Christ, the enemy of all mankind. And we should live joyfully. We should be laughing. We should be living lighthearted. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, please, in the Gospel of Luke. There were so many things that you could approach joy from, letting your light so shine before men. That's part of joy. When you're joyful, you let your light shine before men. You don't hide it under a bushel. You let it loose. We have a story to tell to the nations. It's that Jesus Christ came, he saw, and he conquered. And we've been delivered as a result of that. And we should be joyful. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And this is Mary delivering Jesus Christ. Did I say chapter 2, verse 7? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. I guess so. You ever see, too many TV shows. But anyway, you ever see, what is that, where they beam them up and they capture them? The satellite comes over there, a spaceship, and it's like beam of light. You're like, oh, what was that? You know, that's how they must have been. Like, dude, what's that? They never saw a flash of light in the sky. Last night we were in bed, and there was like a little thunderstorm near my house. And it was pretty cool, like a flash of light almost like came through the window. It lit up the whole window. And my dog's like, I'm like, dude, stop. Stop. Sudden fear. No need. No. But, you know, I don't know how those guys made out, but he said, listen, where are we at? Verse 9. And they were sore afraid. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy. Yes. Which shall be to how many people? All people. Great joy to all people. Jesus Christ is alive and well and living inside each and every one of us. What a reason to be merry, full of cheerfulness, be gay, have a joyous disposition, be laughingly happy, mirthful, festiviously joyous, hilarious, lighthearted, and carefree. That's how we have to live. That's our reason for joy. We should have that joy when we think about Jesus Christ coming for us. Because someday, he's going to come back. And we're bumps quick beaming out of here, man. And there will be no more sorrow and no more tears. But nothing but joy. Nothing but laughing. I got a little goosebumps after that. So, think about it. So, joy. Let's look at some benefits or some reasonings for joy. Proverbs 17:22. Joy can aid in healing. If you have a physical need and you're joyous, it can aid in that healing. And that's Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart. Oh, this is in the, I don't know what the Eastern Standard Version, I think. It's a, what is it? English? Thank you very much. It's the English Standard Version. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. So a joyful heart is a good medicine. When you're joyful, it makes you feel better. I remember I had prostate cancer, and I remember when I went and got the news, you know, it was kind of strange, I guess, to say the least. I wasn't expecting that, but okay. And I sat around watching, there's penguins that come on. Did you ever see the thing of Madagascar? Oh, there's penguins on the Madagascar. Skippy, and Skipper, and I know them. Anyway, so Skipper and them guys, I used to sit around watching the penguins of Madagascar because it made me laugh. Because when you laugh, you release endorphins that aid in healing. Well, imagine if you're carrying that joy, that laughter, that mirth in your heart all the time. You got to be feeling physically better all the time. I don't know, I think Nick taught a while back. He said, like, Jimmy is just like a happy camper. Just like a happy camper. You never really see him frowning or all burned out about anything. Why? Maybe because there's great joy living in his heart. Something to think about. Okay. Joy aids in comfort. Psalm 63. And we can have great comfort in the joy of knowing that Christ is coming back for us. I think this is a really great verse. Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. We live in the shadow of God's wings. That's where we can be at in our lives. God's span is great. It encompasses the universe. We're within that universe, yet we're placed so close to him, so close to his heart. He loves us so very much. There's nothing he won't do for us. And we can take great comfort in that as we live each and every day of our lives. Go to Acts chapter 5, please. And these are just a few things. I'm sure in your own minds you can think of a million things I'm leaving out. Well, we'd be here for 10 hours if we had everything, or maybe 2 days, I don't know. A lot of great things that joy can bring us to. And joy is not the only thing, and we'll see that in a minute. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, joy can aid in times of persecution. If you're being persecuted, be a happy camper about it. You know why? Maybe you're doing something for God. I know, steal, kill, and destroy, he wants to get to you. Sometimes the devil throws a little extra at you. Don't let it get you down, man. You can still have joy because the hope of the return of Jesus Christ is here. It's coming someday. I don't know when. I may see it in my lifetime. I may not. I'll tell you something. It's actually pretty cool, but it's not. Anyway, it says, I think in Corinthians, I'm not sure, but I think it says in Corinthians that we will judge angels. And so, is that right? Okay, thank you. So it says, we will judge angels. And so I kind of like did my own expanded translation of we will judge angels. We're going to judge like everybody, man. And it's going to be like really great. But it says the saints will judge. And so my brother and I, we'd be driving in a car and somebody would like cut us off the road or do just something really, really bad, you know, and really tick us off. And instead of that, I'd look out the windshield and go, I hope I'm working the button on the day you show up at judgment. Yeah. Did you ever see that, like, Spy Who Shagged Me? The guy answers the wrong question, they push a button and it goes down. That's how I'm rolling, man, let me tell you. One of the devil's cohorts shows up. Ah, oh, you were living in that moron that ran you off the road. Floor drops out. Eternal flame. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I know. We'll be thinking a little more merciful back then. But it just felt good to know that someday I might be able to get back at that guy. Even though Jesus Christ, like I said, has already taken care of it. And we don't have to worry about it. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus Christ, and they let them go. And here the apostles are being persecuted for just talking about God. We get persecuted when we talk about God. Oh, you're just another religious freak. Oh, you know, you're one of them Jesus guys. You know, I was driving up here this morning and there was a song on the radio. I wish I could have get it. It was Real Men Love Jesus. And this has nothing, I'm not a chauvinistic person, but that was the name of the song. It was about men. They love football. They love living out on the edge so far that they got to pray for forgiveness and all this stuff. But real men love Jesus. Real men love coming home and seeing their wives. Real men love working. Real men love doing this and doing that. And I was thinking, real men love Jesus. I consider myself like kind of a real man. I'm not like a rough and tumble kind of guy, but I consider myself to be a pretty good man, a real man. I got a wife. I got kids. I've stood behind my wife and kids for years, 40-some years. I still love them. I still want to protect them and watch over them. And many of you can say the same. I don't care if it's for a day, a week, a month, or a year, or 40 years, or 50 years, or God, Brent and Jenny, how long have you guys been married? God bless you, brother. I hope I live that long. Yo, I got to tell you, see, another little sidebar. So yesterday, we go up to get some furniture out of the Gerhardts. And and you know what? I couldn't remember if this was actually true or not, but I swear there was a young guy on the other end of a love seat. And I was at the top of the stairs, and I swear he was carrying that love seat. We got to the top of the stairs, and I swear Brent Gerhardt was on the other end. I was thinking, Brent, what the heck? I had to do it just to prove that I could. I said, dude, you know what? You didn't have to prove anything, brother. Another guy with me. Oh, what? Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think that might have been an angel, Brent, because I didn't see that other guy. But I thought, God bless him, man. Like I said, I hope I live that long, man. Praise God. And I'm getting old, trust me. Well, in verse 41 of chapter 5, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It didn't matter. It just didn't matter. They still kept speaking the word, man, because they had great joy in their hearts. And joy can aid in that persecution. I'm not saying joy is all there is to life. Like I said, we'll see in a minute, there's plenty of other things, because joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. Well, joy can aid in strength. Look at Nehemiah. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. How you doing, John? I love you, brother. I was thinking of you this morning when we were singing Joy, 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 Joy. Remember Mons? We used to sing when we first went to fellowship. We went to this guy, Pete Lauders. Long story short, John Munsey was running the fellowship one day, and we were singing the Joy, 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 Joy. And when he gets to the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. He cut everybody off, and he said, I want everybody to sing Sit on an Axe, because that really is going to hurt. It's not going to be just a pinprick. It's going to chop that devil up, man. So joy can aid in strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. It's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Another song. What is that? Anyway. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. And how do you get to have that fruit of the Spirit? Is by operating manifestations. By letting your light so shine before men. By speaking God's word. By going to a brother or a sister who has a need and helping them out, praying for them, helping them get healed, giving them the word, giving them whatever they need. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We're going to see some fruit of the Spirit. Another song about joy I was thinking of, and now I can't remember it, but anyway, maybe I'll remember it. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections of and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. If we're living in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit also. And as we walk in the Spirit of God, we're going to have great joy. And not only are we going to have great joy, but we're going to have all these other things also. You know, one of the greatest things you can do is speak in tongues. I must say that 100 times, or my wife says it 100 times. One of us does. Speaking in tongues is just a great thing. That's an operation and a manifestation. It's a personal thing. And you can do it anytime, anywhere, any place for anyone. Me and John were talking one day about Munsey, as a matter of fact. He lives out in Las Vegas. And I said, you know, every now and then I think about him. And John said, praying upon every remembrance. Remember that verse. When you think of someone, speak in tongues for them. No matter where they are, no matter where you're at. It's kind of interesting. Nick texted me a while back. Something happened. And he sent me a text at like 2 o'clock in the morning or 2:15 in the morning. And I was up. And I got the text. And I didn't text him back that night. I waited, or that morning or whatever. I texted him back the next day. And I said, you know, I don't know who's more crazy, brother. You texting me at 2 o'clock in the morning or me answering you back at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know which one of us is more nuts. But you know what? A person had a need, and we spoke in tongues for that person. Right there. Right then and there. You can do it any time of the day or night. If somebody pops into your head, just pray for them. Because that's what God would want you to do. That's what Jesus Christ would want you to do. If you want to see some stuff about joy, you ought to read some records about Jesus Christ. You know, they thought Jesus Christ was like, they called him like a wine bibber. You know, why do you think they called him like a wine bibber? Because he was pretty much a happy camper. And here was a guy that went to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, let it go, brother, or God. You know, let it go, Father. Let it go out of here. But he was a joyful guy most of his life. All his life. He lived in joy. That's how we need to live. All right. So we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to not only be hearers, but doers of the word. And walk out on that. This year, when Kim taught about dumping the trash and the garbage in your life, one way you can do that is by getting rid of it and putting something in its place. Put joy in that place. When Dolores taught on resolution, I thought of that camera analogy and how you take that picture. See yourself joyful. Go to the mirror and smile at yourself and be blessed. You have the living, breathing Christ living inside of you. He's here behind every living cell that you have. He's here. And you can represent him. As you speak God's word, you will continue to get even more joyful. You know why? Because it's kind of like prayer. When you pray for someone with your understanding, that builds your believing. Because you're confessing the word of God. Well, it's the same thing speaking the word of God. As you speak the word of God, it's going to build your believing. And it will help you be more joyous each and every day of your life. So, walking in the Spirit involves operation of the manifestation of the Spirit. The more we manifest, the more we see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And it will begin to become second nature to us. And second nature is just like breathing. You don't think about breathing. You just do it. And the more joyful you become, the more word you put on in your life, the more you focus on God, the more that you will become second nature with joy. And you will live a happy life. Happy and harmonious. And I just put this down for my last thing. It says, make a vow. The devil will not steal your joy, something that God has already given you. And live Hakuna Matata. All right, so I'm going to have a prayer and Carmen's going to help me sing. Almighty God, sure thankful for the greatness of this day. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Thank you that we can be ever joyful every single day of our lives, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. Thank you that part of living joy is speaking your word and letting our light so shine before men, that they may see the greatness of you, the one true God. Thank you, God, that you love us and protect us and watch over us all the days of our lives, that we need not fear of all the things the world has to offer, all the things of shootings, of wars, of rumors of wars, of North Korea, South Korea, of anybody or anything, of ISIS, the Taliban. Nothing is greater than you. And you protect us each and every day of our lives. Thank you, God, that we can focus on that and have no doubt, no worry, no fear that you are the one true God, that just like you protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're protecting us. Thank you, God, for this and for all things, and so that we can live in great joy. Praise your name, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.